Welcome to Her Comeback, Transforming Your Life After 50. I'm your host, Michelle Thompson. If you've ever whispered to yourself, there has to be more than this, you are in the right place. This show is for women over 50 who have hit their breaking point and are finally ready to stop going at it alone. You've tried the self-help books, the vision boards, positive thinking, but you're still stuck. And here's what I know. You're not broken. You just need the right support, and that's exactly what you're going to find here. Each week, I'll sit down with incredible women who have transformed their lives. You'll hear their real stories, the messy middle, the breakthrough moments, the practical steps that they took to create the lives that they love, because your lowest moment, it can be your launching pad. So if you're done settling and ready for your comeback, stay with me. Let's discover how other women have made it happen and how you can too. Are you ready? This is Her Comeback.
Hey, good day, everyone. I am so pleased and honored to have with us Kim Dye. Kim Dye is here in Naples, Florida. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I appreciate being here.
Thank you. Well, tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
So I'm the Vice President of Advancement here at David Lawrence Centers in Naples. We're the largest behavioral health provider in Collier County, the size of the state of Rhode Island. So think mental health, substance use challenges, for everyone from children all the way to seniors. We're the provider of behavioral health. Also an author on the side, mom of a very active 10-year-old daughter, love to RV, have two dogs, and everything in my life is about getting to the yes.
Great segue, because that's exactly the next question I had for you. So getting to the yes. So I understand that is kind of your mantra or your motto, overcoming whatever life throws our way. Tell us about that.
You know, it's just about being positive. You know, different people can call it different things. Since I was a little girl, it seems like anything that was ever thrown my way, I found a way to either spin it or move it or position it into something that's a little bit more positive. Enter the field of fundraising, which is where I spend a lot of my time, right? And we always look at trying to get people, projects, initiatives moved to a yes position. So I kind of just combined, you know, that thought of positivity with that word yes. And frankly, Michelle, really everything that goes on in our life, it's all about getting to the yes of the moment. So whether that's issues with a 10-year-old daughter, whether you're dealing with marital issues, I'm a two-time cancer survivor and live with multiple sclerosis, you might be dealing with health challenges, work challenges, anything in life, I truly and genuinely believe that there is a route and a way to get you to overcome whatever it is by getting to a yes that works for you or a yes that matters in the moment. And maybe it's a whole series of little yeses on the way to the big yes.
I love that. Oh, I love it. Well, I know that you have quite an amazing story. So maybe tell us a little bit about what your transformation journey has looked like.
You know, we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? And that self-fulfillment, that self-affirmation that's at the top of the pyramid. I think I might be there or pretty darn close, but it's been a long journey. You know, I went through one of my books is Getting to the Yes, Thriving with MS or Multiple Sclerosis. And that was a tough one to write because it really caused me to reflect back on my life. And, you know, I had a great childhood. You know, your only child, upper middle class, probably the only thing was I was in dreary Erie, Pennsylvania. That's probably the only negative that was involved. Didn't really have any major challenges, life challenges to deal with. And then somehow between, you know, my mid to late 20s to where I am today, barreled through two different cancer diagnoses, one that came literally 3 days before my wedding. The MS diagnosis came right at my 10th wedding anniversary. Then a divorce followed within a year. Don't really disparage my former husband. You know, he didn't plan to marry somebody that had such major health challenges and issues and all that comes with that, right? And then fast forward from there into other life changes, finding my way eventually here to Naples, Florida. I always thought I would live by the sea, and I'm thrilled that my life has taken me here. Managing that life with MS, Then adopting my daughter, who would have been my step-granddaughter, so my husband's granddaughter. She came to very late in my life, in my late 40s, and we took her in full-time when she was very, very young, adopted her at age 3. She's 10 today. And there in the midst, just right as the whole world was shutting down in the times of COVID, then diagnosed with cancer number 2, a pretty serious melanoma that sent my whole world in a different spin. And now we're here today, several years later, cancer-free, still thriving while living with MS, sometimes better than doing the mom thing, I think. And, you know, just making that change. And I think it's, you know, when you talk about transformation of women after 50, I often think we have to go through a lot before we really know who we are to get out to the other side, right? This is the maturing of us, and not just by the circles under our eyes, right, or the wrinkles, but just the maturing of us as a whole. And so all of that led me finally to starting to publish the books that I've been carrying around in so many notebooks over the course of a lifetime to guide folks in the fundraising profession, because that's what I do in my day job. And then hopefully trying to guide others with some other life challenges. I only write about stuff I know. So I write about life with MS and getting to a yes. There'll be books coming out related to, you know, raising your grandchildren when grandparents are raising their grandchildren, and how you find a yes in that when your life's taken a big turn, and really focusing on things that I kind of can relate to in my series of books.
You talk about these really kind of devastating health challenges that you've dealt with. How did you do it? What got you through those really dark times when, you know, getting bad news?
Well, you know, the 3 days before getting married, when you find out you have cancer, and I mean, I was young then, probably a little more dramatic than I am now. You know, they wanted me to cancel the wedding and go right in for the surgeries and the biopsies. And I thought, you know what, if I have cancer and something awful is going to happen, I'm going on that cruise, right? I'm going to make sure I'm married first. And whatever it is, we'll come back and in 10 days, we'll deal with it. And I think having a plan, a strategy, removes some of that emotion, right? And so when I was diagnosed with MS, and I write about this in the book, I was actually relieved, because I was ill for a long time. I'm talking years. Compared to like when you take your car to the shop and you're driving it into the mechanic, and the whole way there, it's rattling, it's beeping, you swear the wheels are going to fall off the vehicle. You give it to the mechanic, he does a test drive, and he calls you and says, Kim, there's nothing wrong with this, right? And then you take the car, you pick it up, you're halfway home, and it all starts again. And that's what life with MS is like until you're diagnosed. And you know, at some point, you just stop going to the mechanic or stop going to the doctor to try to figure it out. So when I finally got the diagnosis, Michelle, to me, it was like, oh, thank God, now we can figure out something to do, right? We can put the plan together. We can strategize what life looks like. We figure out our new normal. When I had a child dropped on my doorstep, you know, that wasn't a choice that I was making at the time. So blessed and glad that I am her mom today. But again, just putting those strategies into place. And when melanoma hit, and you know, we had just laid off everybody. I used to work for Gulf Shore Playhouse. We laid off everybody but 8 of us. I literally just moved home into my office. Autumn was home away from her preschool. And now I'm trying to work, manage a melanoma diagnosis. You know, what can you do? There's Julia Roberts in Stepmom. There's a great scene when she's coaching her stepdaughter. They're sitting on a wall and her stepdaughter's upset. And she said, you have two choices. We can either sit here and we can cry about it, or we can do something. And so I think if we choose to do something, if you breathe through it, if you put a strategy together, and then if you refocus, you can find your path out on the other side. And maybe your life's even a little bit better than it was before, once you find that yes, and you can figure it out.
Oh, I love that. I can really identify with what you're saying there, because I've had different challenging situations in my life, and you're presented with information, you know, what are you going to do? You know, make a plan, walk through it. You know, I love that. That's some really great advice. So you mentioned about being an adoptive mom at this age. How did that come about? I mean, what were the situations that said, you know, I'm doing this? What happened?
So I need to be a little cautious there, because there's other people's stories in play, not just mine, right? Including my daughter's. And the reason I haven't written the book yet about grandparents raising grandkids is I want her to have a role in that, because it's her story we're telling, right? Her birth parents are my stepson and his former girlfriend. They were teenagers when they had Autumn and made Autumn, just not prepared to take on that challenge. And then there's, some other mental health and substance use issues in play. That kind of all then led me full circle to work at David Lawrence Centers, where I do. And in this instance, we stepped in to provide Autumn with what she needed in what we thought was, a temporary situation that then just became her permanent life, and adopted her at age 3, and pretty much never looked back since, trying to, find the best route for her family. And we're not alone. I mean, there are millions, 4 or 5 millions of grandparents that are either temporarily caring for their grandchildren, or they're raising them and have adopted them as their own kids. Our society's in a tough place these days, right? And I often look at those who have children very young. And I remember when Autumn first came to us, and I went to work, and one of my employees pulled me in her office and shut the door. And she said, "We have to sit down and talk." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you have Cheerios in your hair and 2 different shoes on at your feet." And I thought, it's really a lot to try to balance a baby and with a full-time job. And I was in my 40s. And that day I just took a moment and I thought, how do we expect young kids to raise their own children, when they're still children themselves? And how do we expect others who might have challenges that are a little bit more significant than our own to do that, right? So honored and blessed to have been able to step in and to raise Autumn. And what's interesting is I often talk about how I have 7 grandkids and a child, and I've never birthed a baby. And it makes for great cocktail party talk, people trying to figure that out. 2 different marriages, lots of stepkids and lots of step grandbabies, but I never had my own child. And when we look at how God works, and some people think it's the universe, but I think it's God. I think all of those challenges with fertility, all of the health issues that I faced, all led up to the day at 40 some years old when I was asked, "Will you be a full-time mom?" If I had a slew of my own kids, I don't know, maybe I would have said, "Nope, already been there, done that. There's no capacity for that." Instead, I said, "Sure, I've wanted to be a mom my whole life." And it was a gift for me as much, I think, as it was a gift for Autumn.
Oh, and what a beautiful gift to have you to be that support and that loving hand to be there for her. That's really awesome. And how your journey here has really come full circle with your work, from your things that have happened in your personal journey and then your work that you're doing at the DLC. Personal transformations had some, amazing impacts, it seems, in your life.
I think we've all had transformations, right? This one sounds pretty dramatic, like almost like Lifetime movie-ish, but we've all had all of our own transformations. If we just take a moment to think how far we've come as older women, we've all transformed.
Let's talk a little bit more about the formal launch of Getting to the Yes and the first 3 books in your series. So why did you launch the series? Where did just the inspiration to get to become an author, where did that come from?
I think ever since I was a little girl, I knew I'd be an author. And if I had, I used to joke, if I had a dollar for every person that says, "Oh, Kim, you should write a book about that," I wouldn't need to fundraise for the causes that I work for anymore. The first 3 books in the fundraising series of Getting to the Yes start to tackle, the basics of fundraising. So, a guide for the fundraising professional, everything a new person to the field might need to get started. Very few of us really go to school to learn to be fundraisers. We kind of stumble and fall into the role. So it's a great guide. The second is about building compelling campaigns. And I've been very fortunate to craft and lead some pretty significant campaigns in my career, from, $100 million campaign that we're in the midst of here at David Lawrence Centers, to the I raised about $65 million with the team at Gulf Shore Playhouse for the new Baker Theater here in town, and on back in history. But there's a very specific way that you fundraise related to campaigns that's different from other aspects of fundraising. So I wanted to put a guide together to help folks, because a lot of fundraisers haven't initiated or launched a campaign and seen it through its end. The third book in the series so far, and there will be 12 when they're all said and done, the third is about overcoming that fear. It's tough to ask people for money. And the majority of people say, why the heck do you do this? And no matter what we do, I think that you have to have a little bit of nervousness, or I don't know that you're really bought into whatever it is that you're doing. But overcoming fear is important in the field. And I see it so often, especially with brand new fundraisers. They're timid, they're shy, they're afraid to ask for things. And so the third book is really designed around that. They're short books, shorter books. You're not going to get a 400-page book. I think the longest is maybe 120 pages. They're about 50, 60, 70 pages each. And they're really designed to read them and then go do something with them. So to learn something and then to go try out the technique to employ what you learn versus just being educated on a subject.
Great. Fantastic. In your experience, what's the biggest barrier to getting to yes? Yes, that's in fundraising, sales, relationships, or just even life in general?
I think you got to figure out what the no's are, right? You have to know what the no is. And maybe it's a barrier. I think it's barriers. I think it's objections. You have to get through the smoke screens, right? So you have to first, I talk about it like you're peeling an onion. You got to figure out what all those little no's are to get to the yes. You have to honor the small yeses along the way. So if you want to, I don't know, you want to take a cruise, you want to go on a vacation, and your spouse is saying no, right? Maybe literally, or kind of just quietly beating around the bush and coming up with all the reasons not to talk about it. You kind of have to explore what it is. Is it that they don't want to be on a ship? Is it that they can't give up a week? Is it that it's too expensive? Is it that cruises aren't their thing, right? So you have to get remove all those barriers, remove all of those objections. And truly, I believe if you get rid of every single no along the way, there's only one word that's left, and that word is yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big aha moment. And if you're in fundraising, it's figuring out the donor's interests, their passions, figuring out what's holding them back. Is it really no, or is it not today, or it's not the right cause or not the right organization, peeling that back. If you're raising a child, you know, and they're having behavior issues, really diving into what's causing that, peeling that onion back. And when you look at health challenges like cancer or MS, it's really getting educated on the subject, figuring out how it's going to impact you, putting those plans in place, learning to advocate for yourself, and then starting to look in the mirror and seeing, you know, what life is going to look like now. For example, very fair-skinned redhead, right? Almost died from melanoma. And I love going to the beach and I love boating. So what's my new world look like? I don't sit inside all day, but I wear long sleeve rash guards and I wear big hats and I constantly use sunscreen. And you're not going to see me out in the sun probably between 12 and 2, right? But that doesn't mean that I live all boarded up and hidden away. I just had to find my new way to the yes. And I got some really great new clothes out of the whole thing as well. So there's little bonuses to every single thing that happens.
That's awesome. I want to talk a little bit more about, as you were saying, getting to the yes means that you may go through quite a few no's. As a woman, how do you not take it personal, not let's see it as a rejection, have that confidence to keep going back at it? What is it that's that motivating force that keeps you going?
What other choice do we have, right? And it's tough not to take anything not personally, right? If you have a big heart, if you're that type of person. So I think more on the personal relationship side, I would struggle with that a little bit more. In business, it is really just working towards that goal and believing in yourself and believing in what you, having that strength and that courage to continue to push on. When you're talking about health, you really don't have a choice, right? I mean, I suppose you do. You could, you know, be downtrodden. You could be despairing. How many times have you heard when somebody's diagnosed with cancer, they say, you know, you gotta stay upbeat because that is part of what the recovery is. So you have to just dig deep and try to find that. I think I call people who help us out our fire keepers. And I talk about that in one of the books. You have to surround yourself with those people who can see the yes, maybe when you can't, because I don't always have all the answers. Certainly don't in my marriage, I can tell you that, and half the time with my child, right? So I have to surround myself with people I can trust, that I can run scenarios with, that I can talk things through with and work out those emotions to have that level head to try to sort it out in the end.
Having that connection and supporters is so important,
Yes.
right? It can be there with you to provide that encouragement. Great. So which part of the book series will spark the most aha moments for our audience? And why do you think that it resonates so strongly?
I think that, and the books are on different topics, right? But I think that the aha moment is that yes is always possible, and the positive is always possible. I think that's really important. And it seems like such a simple thing. And if folks read the book and they just take a moment and breathe through it and look at what's being written, I think the aha moment is if you put all the yeah buts aside. And what I mean by that is, yeah, Kim, that's a great idea, but I've had cancer four times, you only had it two. Or yeah, Kim, that's a great idea, but I'm stage four and you are stage two. Or yeah, Kim, that's a great idea, but it's a lot harder to raise money for my cause than the cause that you're working at. If we can eliminate those yeah buts and really just consistently focus on the positive, that is the aha moment in any one of the books that are in the series. For fun, it's not part of the Getting to the Yes series. I wrote a book about RVing because that's what we do in our free time. And boy, you want to talk about having to find a lot of yeses there, from fixing things to negotiating with your spouse where you're going to go, to getting them to back up a 44-foot rig. A whole bunch of things have to take place. But even in those moments, following that same principle, as simple as it is, that is what the big aha is. I think we tend to overthink things sometimes. I really do. Like, we're looking for the deeper meaning. And all it really is you put, I'm not very talented at many things. All I know how to do is plan and strategize. So you put a strategy together, you put a plan together, you prepare for the unexpected things, and then you just keep peeling that onion as every one of those barriers and smoke screens come up, and you will get to your yes. It might not always be what you think it's going to be. I don't think if you would have asked me years ago if at 40 something I would have adopted a child, I would have laughed at you and ran away, right? But as my onion continued to unpeel and unpeel, the world just presented to me that this is what was meant at the time. There was no other word at all in that instance, but an absolute yes.
Love that. So beautiful. I love your tenacity. That's what I hear when your story is just, you're tenacious and you just keep at it. You know, someone asked me, well, what's your backup plan? Well, you get back up and do it again. My backup plan is to get back up. And
yes.
It's what you're saying, just get back up and keep at it, keep doing it. And
that's
really
great. Any day on this side of the grass
stuff.
Is a good day.
Last question I have for you. So my audience is women out there that want to transform their lives after 50. So is there a Getting to the Yes book for our audience that may be coming?
How did you know that? Yes, sometime, very bad pun. Yes, there is. In 2026, yes, I will release it. The title hasn't been completely finalized yet, but I can assure you it's about empowerment and finding that. You know, I can sit here and tell you it's super easy to get to the yes. And there are some things in life that I've really struggled. And I think still to this day, I'm still peeling that onion a bit, struggled to really get to that empowerment. I'm a people pleaser. I think some people might even label, you know, codependent in some of my situations. I've had some struggles to get to truly feeling empowered. You see tenacity, and in business, you know, I'm spot on, but that journey to really feel I'm 57 years old, to feel that I'm empowered and that my life has actually just begun, Michelle. I mean, this really feels like, instead of looking at demise, right, and retirement, I'm looking at an encore career in 10 years. I feel younger than I have when I was back in my 30s and 40s. And it came through this path to empowerment. So when this book comes out, I don't think that it's going to have as much tips and tricks and tactical things, some of that along the way, but more of the personal journey, hopefully, is a bit of inspiration for folks, women especially, who would need that. So 2026.
Oh, yay. I'll be there when it's released. Tell us about your books. They are available on Amazon. Can you tell us where we can find your material?
Sure. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, soon to be on Apple Books and a variety of other places. And you can also get them right at gettingtotheyes.org. There's a shop right there, and you can have, actually the prices are a little bit better if you do it that way too.
Wonderful. And just a final note about your involvement with Hope for Collier. How can we find some more information on that initiative?
So here in Naples, we're unfortunately in the worst substance use and mental health crisis that our county has ever seen. You know, when I think about a lot of statistics, and I know we were at an event together and you heard me say this, the number two cause of death of children my daughter's age, and she's 10, is death by suicide, which is just frightening. It's, you can't hardly wrap your mind around that. So that's what I'm doing my work in right now, is really trying to raise funds and build teams and make connections and partnerships as we put together all of the solutions that we can to combat this. It's a huge initiative. It's a $160 million public-private partnership, building new buildings, creating new programs and services. DavidLawrenceCenters.org is the website where folks can learn more about what we do. And if anyone would like to get involved in being part of the solution, they can reach out directly to me, and you can find me on the website there too.
Thank you so much, Kim. You have just provided a wealth of information, and I love your story and everything that you've been able to share with our audience today. Really appreciate your time, and I wish you continued success in all of the things that you're working on, and both personal and professional.
Thank you so much, Coach Michelle. I wish you the same as well.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I am truly grateful that you chose to listen in, and I hope that this conversation sparked something meaningful for you. Please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review. It helps other women to find us who need to hear these stories too. And if you know someone who is ready for their own comeback, share this episode with them. I'd love to connect with you beyond the podcast. Visit me at hercomebackpodcast.com. That's hercomebackpodcast.com to learn more about how we can work together. I have a gift for you. Get your free copy today of 5 Powerful Shifts to Reclaim Your Life. Remember, your comeback story is waiting to be written. The question isn't, can I transform my life? The question is, are you ready? Let's go.